Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. This week we're talking about how it can be beneficial to go backwards and revisit things that you love in order to chart a new path forwards. So you'll hear me chatting a little bit about how I'm re-exploring some older art styles. We also talk about some of the challenges that have been coming up for us as we continue to make videos for YouTube. So Richie and I have been struggling a little bit as far as what kind of videos we want to make and what style we want for our channel. And you often think of style as far as what art you make, but it shows up in all sorts of different areas. Podcasts have styles, your social media will have a style, the way that you write captions. These are all ways that you can express yourself. And it can be difficult to figure out what's you in all of it. So we talk very honestly about how we're trying to figure that out and also come up with a new way to move forwards on our YouTube channel. So I hope that you enjoy the conversation. The beginning of our chat actually started off with quite a few puppy shenanigans. So I've re-recorded the intro and I want to pick up the conversation from where Richie asks me what I've been up to in the studio. So I've started working on a new series and I'm revisiting a style of art that I used to really love and get into. And it's the style of art that's actually in my very first online class, The Melting Pot. And earlier this year, we made a decision that we would go back and revisit some of our classes and either replace them or film a new version or extend them in some kind of way because they were made quite a long time ago and we were both new to making online classes. So I was new to teaching and instructing. You were new to videography and filming. And just like anything, the more you do, the better you get. And we've got better at these things. So we look at those older classes and while they're lovely in their
innocence,
yeah, that's a good word for it, we certainly can see ways that we could make them better. So we started to talk about that. In fact, I've been talking about it for years. And this year just seems to be the first year where I'm actually in the right headspace for it. There's time for it. And as I've been exploring some of those earlier styles of art, I've been having fun and it hasn't felt like I'm going backwards. You know, like sometimes you think, oh, do you want to go back to something that you've done before? But it's actually been very nostalgic and it's been bringing up a lot of happy feelings for me. And at the moment, I'm riding a wave of nostalgia in all aspects of my life. And I'm getting back to things that I used to enjoy, letting go of a bit of the hustle and bustle, spending more time reading, cooking, making the kind of art I used to make. And I'm just feeling really happy. And it's got me thinking whether there is a way that you can tap into nostalgia and whether nostalgia can actually be a real force for good. Like if you can go back into happy memories and remember what was it that you were making or creating or doing when you were feeling most excited and at your best? And can revisiting that from time to time be a really good thing?
I think it's the opposite. I don't think it's going back to something old. I think it's going back to something you should never have left.
Yeah, that's maybe a better way of looking at it. Because every now and then I'll post something on my social media and I'll talk about sort of going back and re-exploring something or maybe talk about the fact that I want to go back and re-explore. And I'll sometimes get a comment saying, no, you know, you should move forwards, like not go back to something old, you know, that ship's probably sailed, like, you know, and that will get me questioning whether or not I should go back to something that maybe seems a little bit more naive or even beginner, you know, whether or not I should be moving in a different direction. And sometimes I find myself looking at my earlier work and thinking maybe it's too playful, too colourful, too fun or something like that. And then I realise, well, hang on a minute, it's colourful, it's playful, it's fun.
I was just about to say that. Like, listen to yourself.
So anyway, fortunately, I've got past all of that and I'm now just doing what feels good for me in this season of life that I'm in. And the season of life that I'm in is one where I don't have as much time for making art as I did even just a few months ago. I'm very busy with family stuff. I'm very busy with our new puppy. I know I mentioned that just about every episode, but it's just a reality. Like, a puppy is no joke. It's a lot of work. It's getting out walking every day. And I'm also...
Do you know what your puppy is?
What?
She's very colourful, very fun. She's all the stuff you were saying that you were trying to get away from.
Do you
from.
Know what? I make it sound like a chore, but she's not a chore to me. Like,
no, she's
I would
awesome.
Happily just spend my day looking at her, playing at her, watching her sleep. Yeah, she's incredible and I'm really enjoying what she's bringing to my life, and I think it is showing up in the way that I want to move forwards and how I want to be more playful and exploring things and curious. So I'm taking a leaf out of our puppy Willow's book and just seeing where that takes me. And so it's been a fun journey, and I've been getting back into reading, although there is a bit of a modern... Sorry, I just threw that in a bit randomly, but I was just thinking about our walks and the fact that I've been listening to audiobooks while I've been walking her, and that's been making me feel nostalgic because I used to read a lot and I sort of have phases with reading now, but it has become harder to fit it in with life. And then I started to listen to an audiobook for the very first time. So I'm super late in adopting the idea of audiobooks. You have been listening to audiobooks since audiobooks probably first came out.
On tape.
And you have listened to hundreds and hundreds of books. In fact, I was so wowed and impressed when you opened up your Audible and it shows you all the books that you've read. And you're so well read. I just think it's so cool. Like, you've read so much from so many different genres, and it's all been on audiobook. And I'll have to admit, I've always been a little bit, oh, I like a book in my hand. I'm old school. I like to go to the bookshop. I like to go to the library. And so I've held off completely on listening to audiobooks, even though I happily enjoy podcasts and have a podcast myself. But just recently in the studio, because I've been spending more time in the studio, which is fantastic, I realized that I was kind of sick of the things that I was listening to. So I'd been listening to a lot of podcasts. And you know when sometimes you get to that point where you just don't have any new podcasts that are exciting you, you're a little bit kind of tired of some of the things that you've been listening to. It's just a natural way that things go. I'd been struggling as well a little bit with my music playlists because I'd been listening to them to death as well. And so I was thinking, what can I listen to? And then I thought, oh, I'll just have another go. Well, actually, it was my first go. I hadn't even tried. I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to try an audiobook. And I'm not a very auditory person. I'm much more of a visual person. So I thought, oh, I might struggle a bit with this. But as it turns out, I'm really loving it, and it's brought another highlight or a draw card to being in the studio because I can listen to audiobooks while I'm painting. So that's been a fun thing. If anyone can hear any scratching or if I sound like I'm losing track of what I'm talking about, it's because we have a puppy that is flying around the room trying to find toys, biting everything. Richie's laughing. And I just—that's
my audio gone.
Oh, crunch, funny. Crunch. She's got one of those toys that has rustly noises.
I have a question for you and your audience, who may listen to audiobooks. And my question is: if you listened to an audiobook and you were at dinner with somebody, and they said, "Oh, there's this book, and it's brilliant." Would you say you listened to it or you've read it?
That's an interesting question. Well, I think in the past I thought there was a distinction and maybe listening to it didn't count.
Yeah. You're a snob.
I was a book snob. Mm-hmm. And so you've been doing all this reading and I'm like, well, that doesn't count. He's not well read at all.
At all.
At then just because I listened to one audiobook,
you're converted.
I then see your list and now I've got a completely different opinion of you. You're now a very well-read individual. Yeah,
because when we met, all the books I read were real books.
Yeah.
And they were on our shelves. Remember when we left Ireland to come to Australia? We brought all those books to the bookstore. Bags and bags of them.
We bonded over books. That was one of the things that we first used to do when we were dating. And I have really fond memories of dreary Sunday afternoons in Dublin, walking through cobblestone streets, finding secondhand bookshops, you going in your section, me going in mine, and just us both coming home with a bag of books. And then we used to go to bed at night and we used to both read side by side. And it just seems so cute now because we don't do that anymore. And we have phones now that seem to take over. But yeah, that's how we used to do it. But you have continued to read. I say, you know, we have phones now. Again, that sort of negative attitude towards it. But in reality, that has enabled you to continue reading and continue reading when life has been busy. Anyway, I think that even if you don't think you're an audiobook person, it's probably worth giving it a try because I've been finding it really exciting in a way, and it's given me a new buzz because I can get back to something that I loved that I've kind of mourned a bit as I've got busier in life. I'm like, oh, wish I was still doing that. And it's made me feel happy. And this is another thing on the nostalgia trail. So I'm getting back into shows and things that I used to like and even watching TV because I haven't watched TV in a long time. It's interesting because I've just started watching MasterChef with the kids. I haven't watched that in years.
I thought you were going to say train wreck TV.
It's not train wreck
TV. No. MasterChef isn't, but what you start watching with Sophia. What did you start watching with Sophia?
Oh, we were watching Love Island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That she got me back into.
But then you moved on to, are you watching Orange is the New Black?
No, she's watching that on Netflix. But I've already watched that. But yeah, the kids have been really getting into MasterChef. And it's funny with the kids watching it because they've never seen it. It's totally new to them. So
and they get to see Jamie Oliver because we bonded over Jamie Oliver too.
Yeah, so Jamie Oliver is on this season of MasterChef that we're watching in Australia. Willow, leave it.
That's going in.
Leave the plant. And the cord.
I'm thinking to myself, I will definitely have to adjust the volume on that.
Do you think this is ruined?
No. No, it's not.
Okay. So in this season of MasterChef in Australia, Jamie Oliver is featured in the first 2 weeks. And again, I feel like I've come full circle because Jamie Oliver was my inspiration for the way that we designed and put together our online classes in relation to art. So I wanted to have art classes that were almost like a really relaxed, down-to-earth cooking show. So everything just seems to be falling into place for me. And I feel like the theme that's coming up for me is going back to my roots.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's you should never have left.
Yeah, we had a very interesting conversation today about this because both of us naturally strive to get better and do better, and we get inspired by things that we see and we want to do different things. And it brought up the question of whether you can just see something and enjoy it, viewing it, and this could be in relation to art or it could be a style of video making. So we were talking about it in relation to YouTube videos. So you can see something on YouTube and enjoy it and appreciate it, but do you necessarily need to emulate it or make a video in that particular way? And the same with art. You know, just because you love a style of art does that necessarily mean that you need to make that kind of art? And when I say it like that, it seems really obvious to me that no, of course not. Of course not. But I think that was creeping in a little bit as far as how I was making art and the types of videos that I wanted to make. I was finding myself drawn to things that didn't really feel good as I was making them or come naturally to me. And then I was frustrated. So I wasn't in a good, creative, happy place. And then I went back to some things that did come naturally to me, the things that first started to come out when I was making art and making videos. And what I realized was, oh, this is me. I might love that type of art, or I might love watching that style of video or that film or that very documentary style, but this is me just showing up as I am, making the art that feels natural, a natural extension of myself, talking about it in the way that I like to talk about art. And I'm very, very fortunate that what I did in those early days actually led to a really beautiful community and business. So there were other people that were enjoying that too. And so sometimes we just have to be a little bit careful about this constant striving and taking in a lot of external inspiration. And I struggled a lot with this with YouTube in particular, and we've had conversations about YouTube, you and I, because when I first started sharing my art, I shared primarily on Instagram and I had online classes that we made together. And we didn't really use YouTube. And all we ever did with YouTube was share a class trailer or maybe a video from our classes. And that was it. And then we decided to branch into YouTube. And many artists in the last year or two have, because Instagram stopped being as supportive of artists as far as reach and that kind of thing. So people started looking for other platforms where they could get across what they were doing and share and meet community. And we were in the same boat, so we started to look at YouTube. Well, when I got to YouTube, I just didn't know how to YouTube.
That's not a bad thing.
And the more I watched YouTube, because I didn't even watch a lot of YouTube. So I started to watch some art videos and things on YouTube. Most of what I watched on YouTube prior to that wasn't even art related. And then I started looking at things and I'm like, what is it that I want to put out on YouTube? Is it a day in the life type vlog thing? Is it a chatty kind of video? Is it a demo? But then on the other hand, I'm doing demos in my classes. What do I keep for my classes? What do I put on YouTube? I don't want it to infiltrate my creative process too much. But at the same time, I do.
And then how much work it is.
And
it's so much work.
Yeah. So we had a few situations in the last 6 months where we decided to create a YouTube video. And I wanted to include more of our everyday life. I really like vlogs. I like getting to know artists. I like seeing different angles and aspects of their process. So rather than just a sit down talking head video or a demo where you might have an overhead camera, I really wanted to create videos that had a bit of everything. And of course, a video that has a bit of everything, well, it has a bit of everything. So it takes quite a long time to get all these different bits of footage. So you might be showing different areas in our studio, anything from sitting down looking at an art book to being out in the garden to painting on a canvas to picking up supplies. And then, you know, you're trying to work with someone. So I was working with you to get that footage. Sometimes I'd be a million miles ahead of you in what I was doing. And what happened was that it took us all week to make a video. We'd get all these little clips, then we had to figure out how to put it together into a video and then make it make sense. And then some bits we'd need some voiceover. And it just took on this life of its own. So now I have so much more appreciation for other artists out there that create YouTube videos and share at different aspects of what they do, because it's hard.
And I think we just came to the conclusion that in order to get the look and the vibe that you wanted, you would have to carry the camera.
Exactly. Because we did get excited about the prospects of making more of a vlog style channel, and we enjoyed aspects of it. Like, we're all for it. We both love that style of creating little films, but the reality of it wasn't ideal at all. And YouTube fun quickly turned into a YouTube nightmare.
Yeah, well, all the time invested into the YouTube vlog, that could have went into a mini.
Yeah, and that's what we realized, is that we were spending too much time on things like YouTube. Even creating reels sometimes can take over. What else takes over? I mean, podcasting can, but I feel really proud of our efforts to make the podcast relaxed and easy and free-flowing. So we're looking at ways to make everything easier. And I was thinking, I need to rethink YouTube because it's not working for me. And do I leave YouTube altogether, or is there a way that we could still create YouTube content but it would take up less time? And then it made me think about the very first vlogs we used to do, which we didn't even put on YouTube. These were vlogs that were just put on my website. And we would have a chat on the podcast. And then if there was anything that came up in the podcast, so I mentioned a few books I was reading, some new supplies, then we would go straight into the studio and just film a short little video of that. So there was a visual element to the podcast. And if you go back to some of the early episodes, you'll even hear those references where we say, if you want to watch the video, head on over to the vlog and watch the video. And we called it a vlog, but it wasn't really that vloggy, not in the sense of, you know, walking around through your whole day or your week and picking up little bits and pieces. It was just vloggy in the way that it was quite relaxed and casual. And so I thought, oh, well, maybe we could get back to something like that and create short videos for YouTube. Short is hard for me. We had a little trial go of this the other day, and it wasn't short. But in my mind, I was thinking if we could create some 7 to 10 minute videos where I just showcase a few things and put them onto YouTube and try that out. And everything is a case of trial and error. We've learned that with the podcast and YouTube. We're just going through some teething pains or growing pains with YouTube. It's a fairly new platform for us. We have grown quite well over there. Things that we've put out have resonated, but we haven't found a rhythm with it. We haven't found a process that works well. And my priority is getting into the studio and painting. And so whatever we do needs to support that. And that's something I just have to come back to. It's fantastic to do podcasts. It's fantastic to make reels. It's brilliant to do YouTube. And these are all creative outlets as well. But you do have to establish a hierarchy or a priority list and make sure that you are putting the thing that is most important to you at the top, and the thing that gives you the most benefit, the most happiness. And for us, it actually does drive the art business too. So it's not just a case of, oh, I love painting. I want to paint and I want to put my music on and flit around.
It's what pays the bills.
It's also what pays the bills. Yeah. So it's really important that I'm in my studio painting and not getting caught up doing too many of these periphery activities. But on the flip side of that, I said to you the other day, it's not like I can just ignore those things, because again, it's a business. And without YouTube, without social media platforms, without podcasts and things, then it's really difficult to have a community and reach people and encourage people to come and look at your art or your classes. So it's not something that you can ignore, but the challenge for us as artists is figuring out what works, what's efficient, what makes you happy, what you have the best skills for. And so coming back to that vlog thing, what we realized the other day when we talked about it was that the type of video that I wanted to make best suited me having my own camera and just popping it up whenever inspiration strikes, talking to the camera, maybe filming little bits throughout the day. But I don't have the skills in videography.
But it's not even how you work. When you get a spark of inspiration, everything gets dropped. Dinner, Pilates.
Hang on a minute.
Everything.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
Do you know what I'm saying? And you should lean into that. If you keep coming in and out of your, like we were talking about the zone, right?
Yeah.
Like the biggest thing you can do in the zone, like if you're in the zone, is a distraction.
That's very true. When I get in the zone, I don't really like to even come up for air. So the reality is when I'm doing the work that would be the most interesting and fascinating to my audience, the chances of me thinking, oh, I really like to turn the camera on and chat about this now, is pretty slim, because I will be in that zone and just wanting to paint freely without worrying about light and cameras and things. So this all became quite apparent. And also we realized that, you have amazing skills at videography, and that works really well when we create our online classes. We've got a good rhythm with that. We have a great way of working together. We have a set that we've created. We have all this stuff that supports that process. And yet, because we were spending so much time trying to develop new ideas and new ways of working for YouTube, our set has been sitting there not being used. We haven't created a new online class in ages. And so our focus has been diverted away from where we wanted it to be.
We talk about growth. You can't just grow. It's constant reinvention, outperforming others, being better than you were yesterday. It's just this constant pressure to not do the same thing twice. We'll be at home watching Bo Miles, who super, super inspires both of us. And here's this guy running across the mountains in Australia on this four-day ultramarathon run while interweaving a story about the British when they arrived, and this was the trek that they followed. But he runs it and talks about it. Fascinating stuff. Amazing. And then when it's over, you and I look at each other and go, we should do that.
So true. It's what people often call, shiny object syndrome as well. Like you see something and you want it. Because, you want to explore it.
Because you have the skill to talk like that on camera, and I have the skill to film it. So in our crazy reptilian brains, we're like, we have the capacity to do that. We should do that. And the answer is no, you shouldn't do that. You should paint and you should film her painting. That's it.
It's hard to distinguish between what's a good idea and what's not, though, isn't it? Because sometimes you will be inspired by something, and that could be a great move or a great change or pivot. It's really hard to know when to stay in your lane and when to go exploring down a different path.
Well, I think if exploring down the different path hinders what you're good at, then it's a good idea to let it go.
So I guess
you don't know until you do it.
You just don't know. It's easy for us to say with hindsight.
Oh, I'm not talking about what other people should do. I'm just talking about what we should do.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, what's the message coming through with this. And for us, in our current situation, and circumstances and where we're at and what we want, our desires, our home life, everything factored in, what's coming out for us is that we do want to get back to our roots. We do want to stay in the lane that made us feel happy and was rewarding from a creative perspective, because we've tried some different things, and although we loved the idea of them, when we were actually doing it, we were up against a lot of challenge, and not a good challenge. Like, we were experiencing doubts and frustrations, and I guess the best way I could describe it was a feeling like we weren't in alignment, that we were doing something that didn't really fit right. And as you said, like, I just don't think it was very me or very you.
Yeah. And I think you're saying, like, what should we get out of this podcast? And I think it should be, and now I am talking to whoever's listening, is that absolutely experiment. Absolutely try new things. Don't do it at the expense of your bread and butter. But also, and this is what we're talking about right now, is don't be afraid to let it go.
Yeah, I think that's a good message, because that's probably the harder part, especially if you've gone down a path for a little while or thought, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. And when you're actually doing it, you're not enjoying it, or it's not working, it's not maybe having the effect on your business. And sometimes it can be hard to walk away from that and let it go and just go, you know what, I tried that and it just didn't work. And so I'm going to go back to what was working before. So yeah, sometimes we just have to make those difficult decisions.
And the funny thing, it's not really that difficult, because I am so excited for it. I'm so excited for shooting 7-minute vlogs with one camera, you know, run and gun, make these cool vlogs. And when I shot off the one camera and I showed it to you, I went, this is the idea I have. What do you think?
I really do love what you showed me. And I know that my ultimate goal, and I've said this to you, is to create things and reduce the amount of impact it has on my creative process and the amount of time I have to paint. And so anything that we can do which feels easy, which feels free-flowing, doesn't have a complicated setup, because sometimes we do have, you know, a whole lot of cameras, a lot going on. My studio goes from being free-flowing to cluttered and full of lights, cameras, action. And what I'm trying to do, particularly in relation to this periphery content, is just to make it easy. And maybe it's not the best possible thing we could make. And same with these podcasts. Like, this conversation is probably pretty rambly, but it fits with that hierarchy I was talking about of placing the art and the painting and the creative flow top of the list. And if you can come in and help me film a little short video where I share something exciting, a new book, an art supply, and I can get that up onto YouTube quickly and it's not a big fuss, then I can get back into painting that day and I can spend the afternoon making art. And then when it comes to actually making a class, well, then we will get all the cameras out, the lights out, the studio will become a filming environment, and we can focus on that. And that's how we used to do it. And for some reason, I got a little bit off path in many aspects of life, and I think that's quite natural, but it feels really comforting. It feels really good to be coming back to the things that we cultivated together. And it feels like you and me doing the thing that we first started this art business for. And that feels really lovely. So I'm like you, I'm excited. I'm really excited. And I like simple, down-to-earth things.
I love this. I love going back. Like, I love the way you even say it, you know, like, we've only been doing this 6.5 years and we're already talking about going back to our roots. But it just goes to show how fast things move and how out of control things can get.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it feels like a lifetime in many ways. Mm. And yet it hasn't been that long since we first started filming online classes. But yeah, here we are.
Let's
New
go.
Chapter. That's kind of the an old chapter revisited.
Yeah. But look, I back onto the books thing. I have my favourite authors. And they've written, some of them have written 15 books with the same character. Reinvent yourself, mate. Do something different, mate. No. I'll keep with this character. Because I love writing this character. And you may not like this character, but other people do. And if I enjoy writing this, I'll keep writing it until I don't. And why can't you do that with your art?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And what another thing that I've realized recently is that just because I see other art that might be similar to the style of art that I'm creating, and you know, I see sort of more of it out there, doesn't mean that I suddenly need to go and reinvent and come up with something new. That it's still my art, it's still how I like to create, and I need to just take a little bit more ownership over that.
There's an amazing photography saying, and I use it for life. And in photography, the lens that you use, its sweet spot is f8. How do you get good at photography? How do you do this? How do you do that? How do you become an amazing photographer? And the saying is, f8 and be there. That's it. That's it. f8 and be there. If you're not there, you can't take the shot. Don't worry about it. f8, take the shot. And I just think it's a great saying for not only photography, but for anything.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap this episode so I can get some painting time in today. And I just wanted to mention to everyone, thank you very much for tuning in and supporting and encouraging us in these conversations. And if you did enjoy this episode or any of our previous episodes, we are always incredibly grateful when you share those in whatever way is you know, your preferred way of sharing, whether it's telling a friend or snapping an image and sharing it on a story. But it really is helpful. There's still a lot of people that don't realize that we've even returned to this podcast after our break. So we do really need to get the word out a little bit better. So if anyone can help with that, we'd be incredibly grateful.